that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word, because it's in your word, Lord, that we can find all the power and the direction that we need in our lives. In your word, Lord, there is life, there is victory, and we have to allow that word to operate and to grow in us, so that it takes over our way of thinking, so that we can receive the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the last subject or concept that we talked about last week was our partnership with God. How, you know, He is our, or we should look at Him as our senior partner. Every business that we do in our life, in general, He should be the one directing us and constantly counseling us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us as we fellowship with Him, to make us do things in such a way that are pleasing to God and that are successful, so that we do not waste our time in things that are unimportant or things that are damaging to us. God's desire is for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. When we are open and listen to Him, He guides us into all truth, and that truth means freedom, means victory, means that we can be the evidence of God's work on earth and His representative down here. Now, you know, as I started this on this topic was by reading the first three verses of Psalm number 1. Okay. And really, that is such an important concept that many believers, or people who call themselves believers, should appropriate and believe for themselves. And in it, there is actually, if you want, the secret of our success, of us being able to achieve the things we want to achieve in our lives and the things that God put us here for. Okay. So I'm going to start reading it again, because we want to move from there and see the steps that are going to be involved, or what the steps are involved in following that direction. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruits, its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, you know, this is a scripture that has parallels throughout many other scriptures, including the New Testament. The fact that how, when we allow the word to rule our life and to guide us in the things we do, we are going to be successful. And that's the way we allow God to be our partner. Our partnership with Him is when we do the things that He wants us to do, that He counsels us to do, not the things that the world counsel us to do or tell us to do. Not imitating the things that are in the world, but imitating the things that are in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures that we get most of the direction we need. The other part of the direction that we need is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to apply properly, understand, and receive the things that we need to receive. It's this agency in us that releases the power of God in the Word. Because not just studying the Word, it doesn't do it. We have people that may have are educated in the Bible and in Christianity, they get nowhere in their life. They are not even saved. So it's not just a question of being exposed to things, or even hearing and reading and studying it. The question is to have a heart open to it, so that God can put the work in a way that is activated inside us. And that activation is nothing else than the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting itself through the truth that we receive. We need our mind to understand. We need our mind to be able to grasp something, otherwise there is nothing there. It's when we understand that we can be saved that we are saved. Is when we understand that we can be healed, that we can be healed supernaturally. Now, God in us put the ability to heal ourselves anyway, even without the Word. This is why this is what happens naturally when things go the way they should. The thing is, we are in an imperfect world where things are not always going the way they should. And there is so much other things that interfere with God's will. And so when we need to reconnect with Him, and that was the result of the original sin. That's what sin came and sickness and death came about. And I'm not going to go into that for today. But really, the interesting thing is, you know, from the scriptures that I just finished reading, there is a promise. And it seems to me it's a big promise. It's a wonderful promise. It's a promise of succeeding in whatever we do. Can you say whatever we do? What does it mean? Whatever we do. All right? Anything that we do, we have a guarantee of success. Now, evidently, for that to be true, the previous verses should also be true. I mean, we should be walking in the counsel of God, not the counsel of the ungodly. We should be walking according to the principles that God has given us, not according to the worldly principles. So it's not just, a ticket to do whatever you want to do. It's a ticket to have success and be blessed as we follow His direction, and that's why He gave us His direction. And that is reinforced from the following verses that we are not going to read, because it's, you know, verse 4 starts, the ungodly is not so. So you see, the very moment when you continue reading, you see that unless we have partnership with God in the things we do and what we believe and what we apply to our life, we are not going to be successful. And the enemy is there, and was there from the beginning, trying to make us fail, trying to make us, you know, have problems, and to make the wrong choices, and take the right steps, because they are going to destroy us, and that's what he wants to do. He comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy. So that's his job. And so we have to recognize that, and we have to recognize that as we walk with God, we have guaranteed victory. Now, not every believer believes that. And some believers may actually be offended by that. But that's the problem that they have. Because they are not offended of what I'm saying at the moment. They're offended by what the world says. And that's a bad place to be in, because you're really offended what God says. All right? So the idea is that we shouldn't go by our own experience or by the experience of somebody we looked up and we thought it was holy, but this, you know, ended up in a bad way. But we should look at the Word of God and believe the Word of God, not people. Not just because I say it is the truth. The reason why it's the truth is because God said it. And you can read it just as well as I can read it. And if you can read it, and instead of saying, well, yes, but, and instead say, no, God said it, I believe it, and I receive it, and that settles it. And that, for me, that's the way I see things in the world. I don't care what other people succeed or not. I don't care what they say or what they do. I go to the Word of God, and if they agree with the Word of God, I agree with them, and if they don't agree with the Word of God, I don't agree with them. I think that's a safe way, because this is what it says here. You know, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If somebody rejects the Word of God, I call that ungodly, no matter what godly they look like. All right. So, this is a partnership with God that determines our success. It's by following His way, by allowing the Word to manifest itself within us and to produce the things that God sent it for. This is just almost paraphrasing what God said. All right? Now, many people don't know the Word, or they know some part of the Word. To the degree that we know the Word of God in those areas, we're going to be successful, because we are going to follow His direction. The more we know the Word, the better it is. Jesus was the Word made flesh. I mean, He was incorporating the Word, and that's what He wants us to do. This is what He wants us to be manifesting. That's the way we achieve and succeed in the things that God wants us to do, because we are not trying to do something. We are not trying to do good, try to do well, or trying to, you know, be perfect. We are allowing the Word to take over our thinking. And when that takes place, we automatically, naturally, do the right thing. It's not an effort to be a believer or a Christian. Actually, I would just say, it's not an effort to be a Christian. Because to be, when you are a believer, a true believer, then you are a Christian. All right. So, one of the most important things, the most important concept of the thing is the question of being obedient to the Word. Obedience is what is required when you hear the Word. I mean, some things we may feel comfortable with, some other things we may not feel comfortable with. Well, that is the time when we have to choose to, even if we feel uncomfortable, to follow those things. And there are many things that the flesh doesn't like to hear, because it has a different agenda that God has. And so we have to take a position and says, no way. You know, this is what God says. This is what God I'm going to do. Because you follow His counsel and not the counsel of the ungodly. All right. So, one of the things that this is a partnership with God. If you want to use Old Testament terminology, it's a covenant with God. I mean, a partnership and a covenant is the same thing. When you have a partnership in a business, what you do is draw up some kind of relationship that you have between you and them, and they're bonding things. You do that, then the other person does that for you. Well, we do what God says us to do, and God blesses us and takes our side and helps us to overcome whatever situation we are in. So, you know, what we have to see is important, you know, from the scripture just finished reading, is important our connections. Who do we connect with in our life? You know, our connection and our bonds are a measure of the reality of our relationship with God. Because God we cannot see. And it's an abstract connection. But the connection that we have here physically are things that we can see, and they have an effect on us. And there is precise instructions in the Bible about how to keep that connection. We cannot have a covenant or two business deal, if you want, talking modern terms, you know, with two different companies that are in competition. Can you? Doesn't make any sense. I mean, nobody would, none of them would work. You cannot expect the right results from doing that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the Bible talks very clearly, says the same thing here. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, says, but do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. I know unequally yoked is the same thing that Psalm 1 was saying. Psalm 1 was talking about, you know, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or to stay in the path of sinners. I mean, you know, unequally yoked means that they are really bound to that person or unbeliever in a way that they determine what you do and they are influencing what you do. The bondage there is, you know, when the yoke is the thing that the two oxes go together when they pull the plow, you know, and when they are, the two oxes are different heights or different strength, the things cannot go straight. Okay. The same thing is here when two people have two different directions. If you are a believer, you want to go in the direction of God. If you are an unbeliever, you want to go in the direction of the world. Doesn't work. Cannot work. Okay. So, and then explains that. For what fellowship? And he's talking about fellowship here. He's talking about the participation that you can have in the same thing. As righteousness with lawlessness. And what communion as light with darkness? You see, our spiritual bonds supposed to be with God's family. Okay? Because they become stronger than the physical bond of the flesh and blood bonds that we have with the in our family. Because we, when we are born again, our family, our father is God. Our true father, the one of the new life we have in, is God. So this is, you know, our ancestry stop right there. And so what we connect with is that is going to be stronger than the physical one that we have down on earth. That doesn't mean, and Jesus actually many times talk about that. And we are going to see some examples of that. That seems, you know, to the people in the world, they seem, you know, this is not right. But in reality, if Jesus said it, I believe it. There has to be something there that we have to understand and to apply. Evidently in the right way. Evidently with the Spirit of God working in us, not just in a religious sense. So, I give you an example. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 47, Jesus was preaching in a house to some of the people that were listening to him. And then, says here, then one said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers stand outside desiring to speak with you. You know, it's interesting to know that all the brothers of Jesus did not believe or did not follow him when he was preaching. I don't know about the others, but one, after he was resurrected, accepted him as the Messiah, but the other ones, we don't know. Okay, James, the one who wrote the book of James, actually was Jesus' brother, and, you know, it says that Jesus appeared to him, and at that time, he recognized him as the Messiah. So, you know, his brothers, or his mother had some revelation about that, or should have had, because all the stuff she went through, okay? So I'm assuming that she believed that he was the Messiah, okay? But still, there she was connected with the whole family, all right? So, deciding to speak with him, verse 48, and he answered and said to him who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" That's very interesting kind of response. Okay? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciple and said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." That seems pretty clear, his position, wouldn't you say? All right. "For whoever shall do what the will of my Father in heaven is, the same is my brother and sister and mother." You see, our obedience, our following what God says is really connecting us much stronger to the other people that are doing the same thing that even the one that are flesh and blood with us. And this is one of the evidences that one is really born again when one is born again. It seems unnatural, but that's really what happens. So, see, this shows this parallels the scripture I was reading before. It shows really the partnership that we have now as a family of God, and the why we should be connected with others with the same beliefs, so that we can help and encourage and direct each other, counsel each other, and support each other. Because only when people are equally yoked, they can really work the same way. In fact, reading the following verses, you know, it sounds hard, but there is a reason for that. You know, in 2 Corinthians, again, continuing from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. "And what accord, what is my agreement as Christ with Belial, with the devil? Or what part as believers with unbelievers? And what agreement as the temple of God with idols? And we are the temple of God." So, you know, when God is inside us, and we are the temple of God, and God is not inside the other person, and actually idols are there, there is not going to be not really any really strong, solid, good fellowship there. Okay. So, now, the reason why I'm saying that, you know, is because there are some implications here and some promises that God gives us. Okay. Verse 16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with it? I'm temple of you. For you are the temple of the living God." I mean, when you are born again, the Spirit of God came to dwell in you. And if you just are able to connect with your mind to the Spirit of God inside you, then He's going to manifest His power in your life. Your mind has to, you see, but you have a choice. You have the choice to do, you see, you have your free will. You can choose to do what you want, or you can choose to do what God wants. Now, the ideal situation is what you want, and what God wants is the same thing. When there is conflict between the two, there's going to be struggle inside you. And this is why many believers go through this internal struggle between the things that they want to do and the things that God wants them to do, and they cannot find peace. We come into the rest when the two things are lined up together and they go in agreement. Okay, and the reason why they go in agreement, because our mind is our problem, our soul, our emotions, you know, our problem, because it's been trained to think the way the world thinks. And so we had to change the way we think according to what? The way God thinks, which is simply the Word of God. So we had to go to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change the way we see things. We interpret reality. We look at the world around us. Okay. So, but that doesn't stop there. And that's the interesting part. And this is really what gets into us even motivating even more. It's not just succeeding in the things we do. Okay. The external part is succeeding in the things we do. But, you know, there is a God's promise that goes with that, that is much bigger than succeeding in the things we do. If you just continue reading the same verses, and God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you see, this is the real promise. This is the really what should turn us on. I mean, the fact that God said, I will dwell in them. I mean, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. God is coming to dwell in us. And so because of that, we are going to become his people. I mean, not just internally, but even externally, because it doesn't stay there. But we had to do the first part of this verse, which is actually to separate ourselves from the world so that the influences and the way of thinking of the world are not anymore impacting on our life and impacting on our decisions. We essentially are doing what Psalm 1 is saying. We are not walking in the counsel of the ungodly anymore. Are you following me? See, this is what releases the power of God inside us to be able to do the things that Jesus did and even greater things the way he said it. You know, Christianity is supernatural. We cannot achieve it in the power of our mind. It's the power of the Word that has to be released inside us. And for that to happen, we had to retrain ourselves, because we have been trained as we were growing up in the flesh, in the world around us, through the experience of the world. And there is not a spiritual reality there, but the reality of the decayed world coming from the sin of man at the beginning. No matter what we are trying to do, how well we are trying to behave, how good we are trying to be, is still damaged by the sin that is spread in the world and the way of thinking that the world has. It's only the Spirit of God coming in us and transforming us from the inside out, not from the outside in. That, you know, then there is that called metamorphosis. You know what is coming? Like when Jesus was transformed in the Mount of Transfiguration, what was inside him was evident on the outside. And this is what has to happen with us. So, but for that to happen, the shield around that does not allow that to come through has to be broken. And that shield is our mind and our thinking. When we do that, we are going to be manifesting the glory of God from us, because he's inside there. That's his plan. That's what he wants for us. That's the end of the road. And the closer we get there, and the more we are going to be able to see and manifest a reality. Well, this is a wonderful promise and a wonderful reality that God has prepared for us. But we have to be willing to move in that direction and allow him to work, do that work of regeneration. And there is a part we have to work for. And that part is really allowing the Word, learning the Word, and allowing the Word to take over our life. Hallelujah. You know, we are God dwelling. And because he's, you know, wherever we go, there are no holy places. The holy place is where we go. when God is inside us. He's not a building. He's not a place that is holy. God is not anymore in the temple in Jerusalem. He came out of there and came into us. That's what we have to understand. When we understand that and we start living in that reality, all our life is changed. And we start walking like saints, not like sinners. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherever we go, it's holy because we go there. Let me continue the following verse. Therefore, I mean, there is therefore, that means there is a reason for that. Huh? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. You see, if we continue our fellowship and our partnership with the world, we cannot have the two partnerships going on at the same time. There has to be some clear decisions. And it's not just one decision. There are many decisions. Because there are each different areas of our life that need to give it to Him. He's there knocking at the door of all the areas, and we have to say, come in. But, you know, our understanding is limited. To start with, we have just a little bit of understanding, and that understanding we have to be willing to give to Him. When we give something to Him, we don't lose anything, we gain. All the time. All the time. So, says, you know, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, that's a big promise. Okay? That is a big promise. And this is New Testament. It's not just Old Testament. It is taken from a prophecy on the Old Testament, but this is a New Testament confirmation and affirmation of what He promised before. Only before was just seeing in the future. For us, He's actually seeing in the past. It's done. It's done and finished. With what Jesus did, the whole thing was finished. The only thing for us to do is to receive it, accept it, and go with it. See, there is nothing. I mean, if God is inside us, empowering us, there is nothing that is too big for us to break through. Anything that we face, we can overcome because He promised that everything we do, we shall succeed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the thing that we have to start moving, you know, that consciousness that God, instead of being conscious of sin, which, you know, may be happening at the beginning, we have to move into a place in which we are conscious of God. Because when we are conscious of God, we cannot go into sin. And there are many scriptures showing that. See, the more conscious of God we are, and the more we are going to be following Him, because you cannot become, you know, you can fool yourself, okay, and say everything is fine. But you're not going to get very fine, very, very far, because you're not going to experience fine anyway. You're going to try to convince yourself. See, it's when we start being doers of the word that we are not fooling ourselves, we are not deceiving ourselves the way James says. You know, and then we are going to start to experience the power of God in our life as we believe the word and we apply the word and we do the word and we are obedient. So, time is running out. Jeez. Time grows fast when you have fun. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, we have been talking about becoming sons of God. Everybody likes the idea, you know, because being a son of God means, you know, you start turning to manifest the power of God. But it doesn't happen just like that. Separation brings sonship. Because He cannot become your father in the fullness of where He wants to unless you are separated unto Him. You see, holiness is nothing else as separation unto Him. It's not just looking religious. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I had to close here. One can keep going forever here. I mean, you just warm up. You just warm up. Praise the Lord. The scripture, the word is so good to us. The Lord is so good to us. You know, that if we just allow His word to minister to us, you know, and we just get into a glory fit. You know, I mean, that's the only thing you can say it, because God is so good. So we're going to see something, some implication, some way that we implement this, and because it's no use to talk about becoming sons of God when we haven't put into place the things that are going to make us that way. Okay, and here is one of the basic things to succeed, to be successful in becoming what God wants us to be. You know, so that we can understand, we can receive, and we can manifest God's glory in this world and bring people to Him. Praise the Lord. I think we should do a little confession here of faith. Yeah. Amen? All right. Praise you, Lord. Father, I believe the Word of God. It is the truth that set us free. As we put it to work in our lives, I believe that Jesus set me free from sin and allowed the Holy Spirit to come in me, to guide me, empower me, enable me to do the works of God. And now today, I decide to be obedient to your word. Let your word become alive in my life so that I may become the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.